Indijanci Janomami. Težave v amazonskem raju. Lepo pozdravljeni v južni hemisferi. Danes bomo podrobnogled vzeli avtohtono indijansko ljudstvo Janomami, ki živi v globinah amazonskega deževnega gozda v Braziliji in Venezueli. Nedavno se pod budnim očesom svetovne javnosti znašli zaradi domnevnega krutega pokola v venezuelskem delu deževnega gozda. Se je pokol sploh zgodil? Kdo sploh so pleme Janomami? S kakšnimi težavami se spopadajo? Kdo jim udira v življenjski prostor in kako jih zaščititi? Se vprašanja, ki jih bomo osvetlili v današnji oddaji. Svetovni mediji, nevladne organizacije in tudi Radio Študent smo v začetku meseca poročali nekako takole. V Janomamijski vasi Irotateri se je zgodil pokol, za katerega naj bi bili odgovorni Garimpeirosi, brazilski rudarji na črno, ki v amazonski deževni gozd prihajajo po zlato. Oboroženi rudarji naj bi v helikopterju preleteli območje visokega Okama, nato pa strelskim orožjem in razstrelivi obstreljevali omenjeno naselbino. V vasi naj bi prebivalo približno 80 ljudi. Preživeli pa naj bi samo trije prebivalci, ki so bili med napadom na lovu. Nedolgo po izbruhu novice v javnost so se oglasile venezuelske oblasti in sporočile, da niso odkrile nikakršnih dokazov o pokolu indijancev Janomami. Vladni helikopter naj bi preletel območje domnevnega pokola. Venezuelska ministrica za indijanska ljudstva, Nisia Maldonado, pa je v izjavi za javnost naravnost iz amazonskega gozda zatrdila sledeče.
En el sitio, si esas informaciones son ciertas para que el pueblo venezolano y la opinión pública nacional
Na tem kraju sem zato, da ugotovimo pravilne informacije, da indijanska ljudstva, mednarodna skupnost in venezuelsko ljudstvo vejo, da je ta vlada odgovorna vlada, pa tudi zato, da se zanika oziroma potrdi domnevno dejanje pokola. Kot lahko vidite, se nahajamo v naselbini Jerodoteri. Tukaj so hiše, predstavniki oblasti, Janomami, ženske, otroci in bivališča, ki niso požgana. Oblasti so poleg tega dejali, da težko verjamejo, da bi nezakoniti rudarji iz tujine s strelnim orožjem in razstrelivom iz helikopterja napadli plem. Saj je za tako vrsto napada potrebnih kar nekaj sredstev in urjenja. Oglasil se je tudi venezuelski predsednik Hugo Chavez.
To je tema, ki je dala povod mnogim špekulacijam. Nekateri mediji dogodek predstavljajo kot resničen, vendar zato ne obstaja nobenega dokaza. Nekdo sproži govorice ali pa neka nevladna organizacija javnosti predstavi kakšen papir. Nekateri venezuelski in svetovni mediji na to pograbijo. Rekoč, če to škodi Chavezu, bomo to objavili in zgodbo še dodatno napihnili.
Chavez je poleg tega dejal, da mu venezuelska opozicija s tem želi škodovati pred prihajajočimi predsedniškimi volitvami, na katerih bo kandidiral. Oblasti so preiskale območje, kjer naj bi se zgodil napad in zatrdile, da na nobenem kraju niso našli niti sledu o kakršnem koli pokolu. Nevladne organizacije, med katerimi sta bili najbolj glasni fundacija The Vaju Taja in Survival International, so še do včeraj zatrjevale, da se je pokol zgodil. Nato pa je organizacija Survival International, ki se ukvarja s plemenskim ljudstvi, objavila sporočilo, v katerem sporoča, da se pokol v vasi Irotateri ni zgodil. Spremenjeno stališče organizacije Survival International nam podrobneje predstavi njihova predstavnica Sarah Schenker.
Survival International has now received its own testimony from confidential sources saying that there was no massacre on the Yanomami community of Irotateri. The news had come out via some Yanomami that this attack had happened in July, and it was reported as having occurred in this particular community. But now our latest information from contacts on the ground is that the community of Irotateri has not in fact been destroyed. We don't know whether these stories were sparked by a violent incident, which is actually quite probable that some kind of violent incident sparked these reports in the first place, because this is a very remote area of the Venezuelan Amazon and it takes a long time for news to travel sometimes. So tension is really high in the area at the moment, and we're pushing the Venezuelan government to carry on investigating.
Kaj pa je organizacijo Survival International sploh napeljalo k temu, da so v javnost sprožili novico o morebitnem pokolu? Odgovarja Sarah Schenker.
We have accounts from some Yanomami that were transmitted to us by other Yanomami and a Venezuelan organization. They are now looking into the source of these accounts and trying to work out exactly where they came from, because it's quite possible that something has happened, but investigations have confirmed that there has not been a massacre of the whole community of Irotateri. What we do know, however, is that there are still thousands and thousands of illegal gold miners operating on Yanomami land on the Venezuelan and Brazilian side of the border, and the Yanomami have been warning us and the governments about this threat for years and years. So it's really crucial that the governments evict the illegal gold miners who are invading the Yanomami territory. Brazilian and Venezuelan, and also international law, say that indigenous territory must be protected for the exclusive use of the Indians.
Kljub podajanju napačnih informacij pa organizacija Survival International reakcijo venezuelske vlade označuje za sramotno. Ta naj bi pokol zanikala še preden se je zaključila uradna preiskava. Tiste, ki so pokol priznavali, pa označila za desničarske zarotnike. Medtem, ko se v Venezueli predvolilna tekma približuje vrhuncu, pa globoko v amazonskem deževnem gozdu Janomamijev dnevna politika in levičarske, desničarske ali kakršne koli zarote ne zanimajo pretirano. Kdo sploh so ljudstvo Janomami? Kratek osnovnošolski vpogled v njihovo vsakdanje življenje povzemamo v odlomku dokumentarnega filma Janomami, The Dying Tribe, producenta Paula Welsha.
For tens of thousands of years, the Yanomami have lived a simple life, surviving on what they could hunt or pick from the trees. Everything they needed could be found easily in the rainforest around them. The forest is a bit like an enormous supermarket, except here, everything's free. But the Yanomami have been careful not to take more than they need, and they don't harm the rainforest. They believe that if they did, the Amazon and its animals would take their revenge. Until recently, there's always been plenty of everything here. The Yanomami only had to work for 4 hours a day to gather what they needed to survive. The rest of the time was for talking, telling stories, and enjoying a simple and peaceful life. The enormous round huts where the Yanomami live are 10 meters high and completely built by hand. They're called molokas, and each one is home for about 20 families. Every family has its own space around the edge of the moloka to hang hammocks and keep a fire burning day and night. It's their sitting room, bedroom, and kitchen all in one. There are no walls or curtains to separate this family from the next. And in a way, the people of the village are just one big family. Each Yanomami hut stands in a rainforest clearing several days' walk from the nearest neighbors. It's surrounded by gardens where the Indians grow the fruit and vegetables that make up most of their food. They plant over 60 different crops, and we wouldn't recognize many of them. Over half of the gardens are used to grow something more familiar, bananas. The gardening and everything else here is done by hand, as it always has been. Until very recently, the Yanomami didn't even have metal knives or iron cooking pots. They came with the first explorers. Before that, their only tools were made of stone. The Yanomami still have no machines. That doesn't just mean CD players or food mixers. They don't even have the simplest machine of all, the wheel. There are no books or school here, because there's no such thing as writing.
Dodobra pa Indijance Yanomami pozna tudi Kristina Haverkamp, aktivistka za človekove pravice in ustanoviteljica organizacije Yanomami Hilfe, ki se že 20 let ukvarja z reševanjem problemov Yanomamijev.
I know the Yanomami since 20 years. Every year I spend 3 to 5 months with them together, and they live in communities, about 200 Yanomami in each village, and they live very, very deep in the jungle. It's not easy to get there, but they get threatened since 20 years by gold miners. And the Yanomami, they don't have a chance against gold miners. They have weapons, but only arrow. And the Yanomami, for me, they are a peaceful people. Sometimes, like us, they have problems. They robbed their women, and then of course they have some fights, but not like anthropologist Napoleon Chagnon said, that they are only fierce people and very dangerous. For me, not. If you know them, they are very peaceful. And yes, they go hunting, fishing, and they live from that what they plant, manioc and bananas, and like for many centuries. In that way, they still can live if we, the white man, does not disturb them and will not bring diseases. Now, by the gold miners, many of the Yanomami, they have diseases, special malaria, because when the gold miners are looking for gold and washing the earth, they are using mercury, and after that all the places is poisoned by mercury, and also there is the mosquito Anopheles, so that this mosquito transmit the diseases from gold miners to Yanomami. And of course the Yanomami, they don't want that gold miners will come in their area, and so there can be conflict.
Pleme Yanomami je v preteklosti že večkrat opozarjalo, da ilegalno rudarjenje zlata uničuje njihov življenjski prostor, saj zlato rudarjem prinaša velike zaslužke. V 80-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja je na območje, kjer živijo Yanomami, udrlo okoli 40 tisoč brazilskih rudarjev. Ti so uničili mnogo vasi in v 7 letih ubili 20% vseh Yanomamijev. Po obsežni akciji nevladnih organizacij in Yanomamijske inicijative se je leta 1992 vzpostavilo posebno zaščiteno območje, kamor garimpejrosi niso imeli več dostopa. To pa lovcev na zlato žal ni ustavilo. Najbolj odmeven primer nasilja nad Janomami je pokol 16 Janomamijev iz leta 1993, ki je dosegel tudi sodni epilog. Pet rudarjev je bilo obsojenih zaradi genocida. Za rešetke pa sta sedla samo dva, saj so ostali pobegnili. Kako pa se Janomami sploh lahko obranijo pred Garimpeirosi danes? Nadaljuje Kristina Haverkamp.
The only way is that Venezuelan and the Brazilian government, that they are working together and that they control the rainforest by radar. There was the possibility in Boa Vista. So by radar, they can see if helicopters or little airplanes are flying into the jungle. So it is possible to control it and then to use the military and to take out the Garimpeiros if there is the political will. And also the Yanomami villages, they need radio for communication, not only where there are little health station, they need everywhere little radio for communication, so if they are in need, they can call someone outside to get help. My organization, Yanomami Help, we are building not only health station, also schools, and we send them radio for communication so that they have contact among themselves and that they have contact to Manaus or Boa Vista or to Puerto Ayacucho in Venezuela.
Obstaja vrsta nevladnih organizacij, ki se ukvarjajo z zaščito indijanskih ljudstev, ki jih pesti predvsem udiranje v njihov življenjski prostor in neodpornost na prinešene bolezni belega človeka. Veliko jih je tako pomrlo zaradi neodpornosti na ošpice in gripo. Izkoriščanje naravnih bogastev deževnega gozda se odraža tudi v pospešeni sečni gozdu, gradnji cest in vzpostavljanju kmetijskih površin. S tem se uničuje življenjski prostor Janomamijev, ki postaja kolateralna škoda interesov kapitala. S čim konkretno se ukvarja organizacija Janomami Hilfe, smo povprašali Kristino Haverkamp.
In Brazil, we are helping a project to build a school, a bigger school, because the Yanomami, they want to know how the politicians is going on, how they had to organize them, and they want also speak the language, the Brazilian language or the Venezuelan language. So they need to learn how to defend themselves, and not that another organization is doing this for them. So with I go now to Brazil. We are helping this school. There is a French woman, Anna Ballester, since 17 years. She's living among the Yanomami, and she will give these courses for the Yanomami, so that they understand a little bit more our world, and that they will learn their rights, and that they will defend their rights. So this is my plan to do in Brazil, this school. And also we already have built 3 health stations, and the first, which is already 15 years old, we had to renovate. And this work I will do together with the Yanomami. I will buy only the material thing, and we will renovate the health station.
V bolj trajen stik z zunanjim svetom so Janomami prišli okoli leta 1940, ko je brazilska vlada v amazonski deževni gozd poslala ekipo, ki je determinirala mejo med Brazilijo in Venezuelo na tem območju. pa si Janomami sploh želijo stika z zunanjim svetom in z belim človekom. Govori Kristina Haverkamp.
The Yanomami, there are villages who has contact with missionaries, with gold miners, with other people or fishers, and there are still uncontacted Yanomami who are living very deep in the jungle, just close the border between Brazil and Venezuela. And I know Yanomami villages who had contact with the white man because they were living a little bit surrounding, and they saw that this contact for them is not good, and they went deeper in the jungle. That means they go in an isolated place to live like they lived before, and they don't want the contact. But in the Yanomami area in Venezuela and Brazil, you can find both of them, both groups who have contact and groups who still don't have contact. And so in Venezuela, even in Brazil, we don't know exactly how many Yanomami are living there.
Svoje mnenje o stiku Yanomami z zunanjim svetom je predstavila tudi Sarah Schenker.
There are some Yanomami communities which do have contact with non-indigenous society and with local NGOs and with Survival International, and quite often Yanomami from various communities and from their own organizations approach Survival and other organizations asking for their plight and their news to be made public internationally. And Survival is here to campaign for the Yanomami's land rights and to put out the news and provide a platform for the Yanomami voice to come out when that's what they want. There are also some uncontacted Yanomami communities who are living deep in the Amazon and who don't have regular contact with non-indigenous people. So, of course, they are actually more vulnerable to disease and violence from outsiders, including at the hands of miners, and we have heard reports of violence against some uncontacted Yanomami communities, but these communities are of course not in contact with Survival.
Zaradi vseh težav, s katerimi se spopadajo, so se Yanomami iz 11 regij povezali v združenje Hutukara, kjer branijo svoje pravice in vodijo lastne projekte. Dela sedaj, kot tudi v prihodnosti, jim vsekakor ne bo manjkalo. Južno hemisfero je pripravila Petra Ajdovec.
Globalization to a large extent is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how they rule. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
When we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half, we have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that a bit all the way, you'll see what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan. Radio študent.